before I begin to serve as minister here at St. Andrews, I was in the little village of Unionville, just north of Toronto, for 12 and a half years. And we started a new church there, Unionville Presbyterian Church, and it was a congregation with a lot of young families. In fact, at the beginning, we used to lament that we didn't have any senior citizens in our midst, a very un-Presbyterian thing to do. Given all of those young families, there were consequently a lot of babies. And given that number of pregnant women in the congregation, I suppose it was inevitable we would eventually experience a pregnancy that didn't turn out so well. We did. A young mom, complications in her pregnancy. She went into labor at 6 months. We prayed for her. Lots of us prayed. I prayed to God, God, let everything turn out okay here. Let this baby make it. But that's not what happened. The baby did not survive. Around the same time, there was an older man in the church, a retired firefighter, and I got a call late one Friday afternoon from his wife. And she said to me they just got back the test results, x-rays confirmed that he had lung cancer. It was so advanced, they couldn't do anything about it. And so we prayed again. We prayed for him to have courage, to know a sense of peace, that promise of eternal life which we have as followers of Christ would sustain him. We even prayed for God to heal what the doctors couldn't fix. About 3 months later, his wife called me. He'd been in for further tests to monitor the progress of his disease. The cancer was gone. Completely gone. His lungs were absolutely clear. He was fine. The doctors were totally astonished. His doctor said, I've never seen anything like this before. And she was so effusive on the phone. She thanked me for our prayers, for their healing power, for God's healing touch. What do you do with all that? What do you do with it? I mean, does God answer prayers? Some, but not all? Sometimes, but not all the time? Or does God always answer prayer and sometimes God says no? And some people say, well, we prayed and God showed up and we received a miraculous cure. Well, then where was God the rest of the time? Was God somewhere else doing something else and then apparently deciding to show up here and doing something he hadn't done with someone else but should have done? No wonder prayer gets confusing. And other people say, well, you just have to understand God is going to do what God is going to do. And I want to say, well, then why pray if God is going to do what God is going to do? And then others say, well, you don't understand. God can do anything. And I say, well, then why doesn't God intervene? I have a deep trust in God. But I do have a lot of questions. And as I thought about some of that this week, and as I looked at the passages for Good Friday, I read there the account of Jesus on the night he was betrayed. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples praying. And in those hours leading up to his arrest and crucifixion, he's feeling the full weight of what's about to happen to him. He knew what was headed his way. And I know that sometimes we like to put Jesus on a pedestal and think he was something different from human, but the church has always maintained that Jesus was fully human. And so, of course, he has in his mind that he is going to have to endure the suffering of an agonizing death on the cross. And he begins to pray and he prays, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup be taken from me." He likens death to a cup he doesn't want to drink. I mean, who would? And then he goes on to pray. "If it's not possible for this cup to be taken from me, then may it be done according to your will." So in the first part of the prayer, he essentially says, is there some way to get out of this? I really don't want to go through this. Is there some other plan here? And then in the second part of the prayer, he says, "Well, I guess this is going to happen. Nothing I can do to stop it. So God, I'm ready for whatever you have in mind." And to understand why Jesus prays like this, we need to understand Jesus knew his Hebrew scriptures. And he took them very seriously. Jesus knew the creation story in Genesis that begins our Bible. And in the creation story, God creates things that are capable of creating more. God creates trees, but he gives trees the abilities to create more trees. God creates animals and plants and fish, but then empowers them to create more. And then God creates people and gives us the ability to create more. So everything in creation is essentially unfinished. God leaves the world unfinished and invites people. He invites us to participate in the ongoing creation of the world. Now, when you create, you always run the risk that what you've created won't turn out the way you wanted it to. It may go a different direction. It may not be everything you intended it to be. It may veer off course and it may break your heart. And so this creative energy, this divine creative energy that brought everything into existence, it takes great risk in creating. But at the same time works in a very specific way. It brings order out of chaos. So the creation story says it was wild and chaotic at the beginning. But out of this, God began the endless process of bringing design and order and beauty. And so when Jesus prays, he's tapping into this divine creative energy that made everything. And so for Jesus, prayer wasn't this passive acceptance of, "Well, it's going to be this way." And it wasn't this active rebellion like, "I'll dictate the future." Jesus' prayer was being open to God, who is at work here and now. But to be open to the creative work of God in the world, here and now, we have to be honest. So Jesus is saying things like, if there's any way for this cup to be taken away so I don't have to drink it. When he says that, he's just being brutally honest with God. "God, I really don't want to go through this." And if you look in the book of Psalms, chapter 13, the writer says, "God, how long will you forget me? For how long will you hide your face from me?" Jesus came from this long line of people who saw prayer as brutal honesty with God. Some people say half of the Psalms were laments. People grieving and outpouring their anguish in times of great suffering and torment. People shaking their fist at God, challenging God, wrestling with God, arguing with God, questioning God. And I need to tell you, sometimes when we pray, we like to pile up all kinds of pious sayings, restrained prayers. But what God wants of us when we pray is brutal honesty. And God can handle what we're thinking. God can handle what we're feeling. God can handle what we're saying. prayer, if it's anything, is truth. It's being honest with our Maker. But for Jesus, it wasn't just honesty that's going on in the Garden of Gethsemane as He's praying. Jesus questions how in some way He can be involved in the answer. Is there some role for me to play in this creative unfolding work of God in the world? What role are you calling me to play? He says. Some people say, well, God just didn't answer my prayer. And sometimes I want to say, well, maybe because you were the answer to your prayer. You know, we shouldn't pray for God to feed the hungry and the poor when we have food and money to feed the hungry and the poor. It says in Scripture, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Someone who believes that the God who created the universe is at work here and now. Somebody who's aware, who's watching, who's listening. Somebody who's looking for their role to play in God's ongoing creation of the world. Well, if you pray like that, it is powerful. Prayer isn't just a formality. Prayer isn't just some sort of list or some sort of rote ritual that we go through before we get on with the rest of our day. We live in prayer. It says in the New Testament, it says, the Apostle Paul says, pray without ceasing. Prayer is our whole posture towards life. It's way more than just words. It's the whole way that we see everything going on around us. So prayer is being still, it's meditating, it's reflecting, it's listening, it's waking up. And it's where you never stop asking. It's where you never stop asking, God, what is going on around me right here, right now, that You are calling me to be a part of? God's desire is that that divine energy that made the whole world flow between us, between us and God, between us and others. And in that process, we will be drawn closer together. Prayer is tapping into that same energy that formed the universe. One of the things that's just amazing to me is that from time to time, people will say to me, I knew I was being prayed for. They felt it. And it's because we can feel it. Because it's powerful, prayer connects us to God and to other people, the people we're praying for. Prayer enlarges our perspective. Prayer gives us a bigger heart. Prayer makes us feel things. Prayer changes things, but prayer also changes us, making us better people. So when people ask all kinds of questions like, why didn't God do this? Why did God do that? Why a miracle here and not one there? Why did God say yes to this prayer and no to that prayer? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why some situations go one way and some situations go another. But I do know that you and I can be open to the new thing God is calling into being. And that was what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said to God, how can I be a part of this new thing You're bringing into the world? The most miraculous, the most history-changing event that has ever occurred. Jesus said, not my will, but Your will be done. May our whole life be a prayer. May we be honest with God May we become more and more open to our role, participating in the purposes of God, God's divine creative energy, which we unleash when we say, "Thy will be done." And like Jesus, become partners of God in God's unfolding creation of our world. Let us pray. And now unto God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be all praise, honor, and glory, world without end. Amen. It is not in the order of service, but we will be singing hymn number 210, Man of Sorrows, Wondrous Name, number 210.